It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
What time did you get back yesterday? I suppose I should ask that first.
What time did we land, or what time did I walk in the door?
Walk in the door.
5:30.
Okay.
I was in the bubble for the Lions game.
No, I get it. I get it. And I'd forgotten that you were coming back from Oklahoma. I was going to ask if you had watched Red Zone yesterday, but you did not.
So there's a couple things here. Again, making mental notes moving forward. Delta, you're my airline.
Okay.
You're my airline, Delta, because I flew two different airlines. One out there that involved the delay, my wife, and it was a long delay. Then my wife leaving Detroit, also a long delay, same airline. Coming back, no TVs on the opening day of the NFL season was really, really hard to deal with. I have nobody to blame but myself, but it just mental notes. Delta, you're my airline. Delta, you're my boy. Moving forward.
They'll take care of you.
Yep. Well, they'll have TVs, and I haven't had the delay issues.
So I spent all the 1 o'clock schedule watching Red Zone, and just sitting like a pig in slop, just loving it.
Right? Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
And Kang, I assume that you watched Red Zone as well yesterday, and the controversy going into it about commercials and the ads or whatever, I thought was handled actually very well, because anytime they're going to bring up the audio for a commercial, which they were going to do with the 7 times during the broadcast, they said they were going to do that. Anytime they did that, it was when they were focusing on one game at that time, and it was between plays. So the 15 seconds worth of audio that you're hearing doesn't affect at all. And I was glad to see that they're picking and choosing the spots of when they bring that up. Mm-hmm. I thought it worked really well, and that was a good thing.
I actually didn't watch it because I had a wedding the night before, and then the next day we had, my wife and I had time without the kids, so we got stuff done in the 1 o'clock hour.
Yeah,
and then I had to get back before 4 o'clock for the game. So I did see some clips though, Gator, and I saw what you just described, that that it did like a picture in picture basically. Yeah. The issue is, I guess it was just 4 15-second commercials, so a total of 1 minute the entire time. That's not the issue. The issue is, this is just the beginning.
Well, yeah,
you know what
that's
I mean? Like,
thing.
We know this is going to get worse.
But if they're only going to do it like the way that they did it, which is answer walking back, which I know they're not going to, but
yeah,
at some point they're going to switch and just do regular commercials.
Yeah, it's
going to
be regular commercials or whatever.
But until that happens, I'm okay with it. And let's hope that
as it stands right now, you can survive under the current format.
I can't survive under the current format.
Kang is warning there will be more to come.
Yeah,
but hold on. Only if they can make money. But you're okay with it.
Yeah.
Under its current format.
Yeah, it worked out. Worked out well. Plus, I had a couple hot dogs yesterday right before game time. Air fryer for the hot dog. That's the way to go.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way to go.
I'll take that under future consideration.
Yeah, you should.
Let's go to Dan in Trenton. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Dan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Dan.
I want to get my Champ and Chump. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Champ, Childs, Chump, the O-line for Michigan and the Lions. I just thought the O-line wasn't as good as they usually are for the Lions. Michigan's a little newer, but I think they should have gave Underwood more time. I think he's going to work out and be a great quarterback for Michigan. He just needs some more reps, and he'll be good by next year.
Could
what
be.
Do you guys think?
I mean, here's the thing about it. I thought his youth showed and their inexperience showed on a couple of throws. You got a receiver downfield blocking and he throws it to him. There was another one where he threw it to the outside, to the pylon, and his receiver cut in. But probably the one, I mean, there were opportunities for him to run when he was rolling out and he went for the big play. Maybe in
there was a couple where I thought he should have ran.
There was one, Dan, where late in the game he had Donovan McCulley in man coverage on a slant pattern. And just as he made his cut and looked like he was about to come wide open, Underwood threw a beat too early, and I felt like he saw ghosts. and he threw off the back foot. He had a pocket.
I remember the play.
He had a pocket. He had time to let that route fully develop. And again, this is when we talk about in the off season. I talked about a lot. Expect some freshman moments. That's part of it, and it's okay.
He still hasn't thrown a pick yet, though, so that's good. He still hasn't thrown a pick, and I thought I'd see at least one pick versus Oklahoma, but I'm glad he hasn't. How about a running back for Michigan, too? Hell of a run. What is it, 85 yards he had?
Yeah, 75? Yeah.
Kid's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's real good. It's good signs for Michigan, that's all I got to say. Thank you, guys, and I'm not worried about the Lions. I think they're going to do just great. If they lose to Chicago, I might get worried. But right now, I'm not worried.
Well,
there's going to be a lot of panic folks if they lose to Chicago.
There is losing games, but when Green Bay goes out and adds Micah Parsons and beats Detroit, even though I thought Parsons wasn't really – I think they win the game whether Parsons is there or not. I don't think Parsons was the difference maker on that
game. I agree with you.
But because of that, there's a little bit more panic than otherwise. That adds fuel to the fire. Again, if you lose another game, and they're going to lose another game, it's one thing. If you lose to Ben Johnson, that's dumping a oil truck of kerosene on the fire. Like the Ben Johnson factor. Now, do I expect the Lions to win next week? I do. Call, I don't know if it's the boldest of calls. I suspect they'll be favored. They were underdogs here, losing as an underdog. How many times are they going to be underdogs this year? I wouldn't suspect them many.
I think more than you might think because of the schedule where they're playing the tough game.
How many games do you expect them to be underdogs? Because I went with six because I have them with six losses.
Okay, well, that's a lot, I think, that you were from a 15-win team. Lots of these road games, right? So Baltimore, Kansas City, probably, Washington, Philadelphia. The Rams, maybe playing at home against Green Bay on Thanksgiving. That would be a sixth one. And then you've got at Cincinnati. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's schedule's tough. It is what it is, but there's a reason why.
Yeah, I don't care if they're favored or not. It's just a Vegas thing.
My point is they were an underdog this week. They lost. Okay. If they're a favorite this week and they win, it doesn't mean I'm going to overreact and say they're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing Dan Campbell this week with the morning show, what he has to say now that he'll have a chance to look at film and all that. And that's usually the cliche, but it matters, right? Because there were mistakes made all over the field yesterday with the offensive line, from the tackles to the guards to the center. So how does it look on film? Is it as bad? And is it one of those things that's like, that is so correctable, it's not even funny? Actually, we're going to be in good shape. Those are things I hope to hear. I don't know if we're going to hear it. I mean, maybe there's some real issues there. The Green Bay exposed. Green Bay came at this game completely prepared, and the Lions were not. Ultimately, that falls on Dan Campbell if the team wasn't ready to go, and they weren't ready to go. And they had the opportunity to go on the offensive. They won the coin toss, and they chose to defer to the second half. Okay, get the defense out there. We like that. And the defense just... You know, they get mowed down right away. It was not a good start for the Lions. Not a good first half of play for the Lions, for sure. Better in the second half with the defense, but the offense just never got clicking.
I mean, Dan Campbell's going to say positive stuff, I think, as far as everything's correct. Well, like, kind of like what he said yesterday after the game. But I think that the people's trust isn't necessarily with Dan Campbell or not with Dan Campbell. I think it's with the coordinators, because those are the new guys. And so people don't necessarily trust the new guys. And then you saw what happened yesterday. The only thing that's going to gain their trust back is winning convincingly against the Bears. Because, Doug, you just mentioned if they lose to the Bears, people are going to go crazy. Yeah, they're going to go crazy because the following week is Baltimore, and you're staring 0-3 in the face. And that's when things get really dark around here. So it's like, I don't like using the term must-win games at all. But if they lose against the Bears, people's pets' heads are going to fall off.
Do you think they will?
Do I think they'll lose against the Bears? No, I don't think they will.
Gator, do you think they're going to lose to the Bears?
I do not.
248-539-9797. More of your phone calls and feedback next. 97.1 The Ticket.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Jared Goff talking about Johnny Morton's offense and the play calling. 248-539-9797. We'll talk with Jared tomorrow. And the cool thing is about Jared is he's been really good as far as answering questions that fans ask us. And there's going to be times where we don't know the answers, clearly. So don't mind turning to him and asking him. So we'll see what he has to say tomorrow. Also, Dan Campbell on the morning show tomorrow. 248-539-9797.
Did you see what the Thursday night football game is this week?
I have not. What is it?
Washington at Green Bay.
Interesting.
That's a good matchup.
It is. To the last two teams that beat the Lions. Let's go to Bill in Madison Heights. You're next on 97.1. Hello, Bill.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Bill.
Good afternoon.
What's up?
Yeah. Yeah. Hello. There was a parallel definitely between the Michigan game and the Lions game. The Packers and Oklahoma were both jacked coming out, and they both just got jumped. Like Michigan got jumped. Lions got jumped. They weren't fully prepared to play. I think, losing Ragnow was a real big deal. But just I really wanted to comment on Michigan. I a little more, Bryce. I think they're going to have to, I understand that was a really going into Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma's got a really good team, and that guy, I don't know if that material is going to last the whole season running around like that. I mean, he was taking shots. I mean, but they couldn't tackle him, for one thing.
Really, really good. There's no question that he is really good.
Yeah.
He's the favorite to win the Heisman now, by the way. He's moved into the front runner.
Oh, well, yeah, not surprised. But, I think they've got to let Bryce loose a little bit. I know he missed some throws, but the one thing that I have seen from him, even the obviously these first two games have been pretty unspectacular for him, but you can see the poise and leadership he has. Now I wanted to ask specifically, I don't know if you can comment on it, Doug, that sideline incident that he had with Justice Hayes. I don't know.
That's the kind of thing that it happens in football a lot. The cameras caught it this time. It's an issue if it keeps happening. And if it's an issue, it can be an issue if it's a bigger deal in terms of any divisiveness on the team. But
issue if there's resentment.
Yeah. Yeah. But Justice after the game said, he was asked about it specifically in a post game press conference. And he said, I love Bryce. That's my boy. And so, again, just because he said it doesn't mean it's a case, but we'll see over the course of time. I you monitor these things, but there was frustration, and it'll come out, and it does come out, and it's not the end of the world. It is if it continues to be a problem and it gets in the way. 248-539-9797. Kurt is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Kurt.
Hey, guys, I would ask how you're doing, but I'm assuming miserable based on what we saw this weekend.
It is a glum day.
Solid call.
Yeah, I want to talk about two things, if you give me the time, and I want to start with Michigan. I watched 8 quarters of football this weekend. My favorite team scored 26 total points, and 7 of those were in garbage time. Doug, specifically, Can you explain or maybe elaborate? I know obviously you're there in person. What the hell is going on with the play calling for Michigan? I understand he's a freshman. He's on the road. It's Oklahoma. A lot of pressure. What is the deal with the short screens and the inside zone and not really even giving him the opportunity to throw the ball down the field other than a handful of times throughout the game?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about throwing it downfield 4 or 5 times, you only get so many shots. You have to protect a quarterback, and the protection wasn't great. And for those routes to develop, you need good protection. And then there were times that he had good protection. I thought he rushed it a little bit, but I mean, you can call plays. That doesn't mean that's what you see on the field. And I've learned that over the years, that you can call deep shots and crossing patterns, the 15, 20 yard down the field crossing pattern. You can call some of these deep shots, but you don't see it because the pocket breaks down and you have to dump it off or you get sacked or you bail out of there.
I understand that completely. It just seemed like offensively they were becoming so predictable, and even on third and must pass situations, it seemed like they were running inside zone in between the tackles or short dump off screens that were designed to go to the running back. And it just seemed like after a certain point, the way the game was flowing, it didn't seem like there was going to be a lot of points that won that game. And outside of the play to start the second half, the long run, it was just repetitive. The same thing over and over again, inside zone, right up the middle,
I could almost guarantee you that it wasn't the same thing over and over again. That's just the because you get to the line of scrimmage, sometimes you check out of one play and into the other. But I also give Brent Venables a ton of credit. We talked about this pregame. This was a veteran elite defensive coordinator, and where he really gives you problems is when you are in predictable situations, and he gave the Michigan offense problems. He gave the line, and he gave the young quarterback problems. So I give Oklahoma a ton of credit. I think Michigan's got a lot to work on, but play calling is part of the issue. But when you can't block, there's not a whole lot of plays you can count on. When you struggle to block, I should say.
Yeah, and when you're not playing with Marlon Klein in the game, who's your number one weapon, that's going to limit things as well.
Gator, we have some start times just announced.
Okay. Is it Michigan Michigan State game?
Nope.
Oh.
There is a Michigan State start time.
Oh, boy. What do we got?
Saturday, September 20th, Michigan State at USC will kick off at 11 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, that's the game out west, eh?
Yep.
That's September 20th? That's 2 weeks?
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Michigan-Nebraska that Saturday is at 3:30. Michigan State-USC, 11 p.m.
Whatever, I should go to that game.
That'd be awesome. You should go to that
start
game.
Looking at
Here's
flights.
What's hysterical, Keg. He doesn't want to go to a 7 p.m. kickoff in East Lansing, but he will go to an 11 p.m. kickoff in L.A.
Well, it feels like, I mean, that's a whole trip out to L.A., though. That's although a short trip to L.A. does not entice me that much.
Maybe you can do the show live from USC, you know, where they play.
At the Coliseum?
And get Sean Cody, former Lion, to break down the entire USC roster for a whole segment.
Sean Cody or Dan Owens, one of those guys, yeah. Yeah, that'd be good. Reggie Bush, maybe Reggie Bush.
That would actually be cool.
That would be fun.
That would be cool, but I'm thinking it's probably more like Sean Cody. It's probably going to be more like that.
We had Teddy Lehman on, who gave us a very thorough breakdown of the Oklahoma roster. Also gave us a great breakdown of Dan Campbell and his time playing with Dan Campbell.
It was, Teddy Lehman was great.
Yep. I will tell you this, too. All weekend long saw him after that. Great dude. Teddy Lehman is a great dude. But everybody in Oklahoma was great.
Did you have a beer with Teddy Lehman?
I did not. There was an opportunity, but it didn't come around. But I did tell him we ended up at Mooney's, and he's like, you went to a biker bar? And I'm like, yeah, it looked kind of cool. Wanted to experience a little everything. And then I told him that, and I also learned that Switzer's locker room is not a bar. It's a storage facility. 11 p.m. kick. Spartans and Trojans.
That's going to be brutal. 'Cause
you got this.
I'm realizing that I'm probably not going to go to that game because I would want to take several days off. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
You can do that. I got your back.
Huh. If I were to stay here and watch, 11 o'clock is... Wait a minute. Are you sure it's 11 o'clock? 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, really?
Well, it says Saturday 9:20, 11 p.m. ET / 8 p.m. PT. This according to at Big Ten football or at B1G football. So.
Oh, geez. Yeah, it does. Yeah, Michigan State tweeted out too. Oh, crap. That is so late.
I continue to be thrilled more and more that those Pac-12 teams are in the Big Ten. Absolutely thrilled.
I mean, you are 100% on that. The Big Ten should have gone after Oklahoma and Texas instead of dismantling the Pac-12. They 100% should have done that.
Yep. I'm such a fan of Oklahoma now, but there's just a fit. There's more of a fit.
Dude, I'm not used to, you asked the question last week, I think it was the college football questions. Am I used to it yet that the Pac-12 teams that came to the Big Ten are now part of the Big Ten, and the answer was no then. It's still no. I'm still not used to it.
I'm typically, oh, sweet, a Big Ten team's playing a non-conference game? Go B1G. I'm getting hostile towards their fact that they're even in the Big Ten.
Yeah. I'm happy about this.
Well, 11 p.m. I think I'm stoked that you're actually considering going.
I am considering.
I think that'd be awesome.
I'd consider it.
Yep. You give me a scouting report on the Coliseum. the campus is beautiful. It's next to a neighborhood that you don't necessarily want to wander into, but campus is beautiful. 248-539-9797. More of your phone calls and feedback coming up. Champ and Chump, last chance to get your votes in. 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, it's Doug Karsh to tell you that Sarah Chevrolet in Sterling Heights is powering up the savings on EVs all month long. Lease a new 2025 Silverado EV courtesy vehicle for just $367 per month for 24 months with zero money down. $367. Go now to 17.5 in Van Dyke in Sterling Heights, 87-SAY-SARAH or saysarah.com. Together, let's drive. With GM employee discount and Costco membership, 10,000 miles per year plus taxes and fees with approved credit, offer ends September 30th.
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Maybe.
Could be sending Gator out to the Coliseum for the 11 o'clock kick between USC and Michigan State. That game September 20th announced today as an 11 o'clock kick. All right, so here's an interesting quote from Alex Anzalone. regarding the Detroit Lions, who are questioning the coordinator hires. This is after the game yesterday. He said, and I, this is a quote, after week one, well, whoever's saying that is not highly intelligent. This isn't a situation where anybody's panicking. It's just, we're on the road. We got our asses beat and we got to move on. So that is from Alex Anzalone. Take it for what it's worth. Aiden Hutchinson, after the game story, the Birchie Kid did on our website, 971theticket.com. Here's Hutch's perspective, big picture on the Lions season. We're going to get it cooking. We're going to find a way, that's for sure. We got a good history of responding, and we got another divisional next week. So I think it's going to be good for us. There's a lot of expectation this year. Come in, lose like that, I'm sure people will be really down on us. And that's where we thrive, when everybody doesn't believe in us anymore. I'm sure everyone's going to be talking, but I think what we do really well is when the adversity hits, we put blinders on and we go. So, look, players know what's going to be said, and the players are still bought in. You know, the coordinator hires, it's fair for the jury to be out, okay? I'm not mad at anybody. And you know, had they won 56-0, I wouldn't have been preparing gold jackets for Morton and Shepard yet either. There are just days where
I would have. If you beat that team 56-0, I would have. Yeah, all about it. Yeah,
It's not your day. It wasn't their day. These seasons are long. It's still a really good roster. We can't forget that. They have some things that need to get shored up, but I have faith. If you think about what is your number one issue? And everybody's answer might be different. Mine was, coming into the season, questions about the interior of the offensive line. The good news is Hank Fraley considered a good football coach, Scott?
Yes. Okay. Very much so.
Yep. So, you know, I'm confident that a good football coach who's proven himself over the course of time can help this group along. Help make him better. Champ and Chumvalt's coming in. Carl at work says, Champ, Isaac Tesla for his first NFL catch being one of the most physically impressive catches I've ever seen. Chump the entire Lions offensive and defensive lines. Horrid performance from top to bottom. They better improve really fast or this could get ugly quickly. Champ, Aiden Childs for saving the weekend. Chump, Karsh and Anderson for Lions offensive greatness proclamation during training camp.
Well, I would say this. And you've pointed this out, that the first 3 weeks of last year, their point totals were 20, 16, and 20.
Through 60 minutes, yes. They got an extra touchdown the Rams game in overtime.
Okay.
Well, those were the three lowest.
I'll give it to them. I'll give them 26, 20,
well, now,
and 16.
Now it no longer applies.
I don't.
Those were three of the four.
For what I have to say, it will. They scored 26, 20, and 16 the first 3 weeks of last year. And as you mentioned, one of those had to go to overtime to get you to 26. They still ended up scoring 33 points per game. Even a 26 is well below, that's a touchdown below what their average was last year. And that was through the first 3 weeks. I don't expect that they're going to have that same type of three-week span to start the season this season. So, yeah, if you want to say that their offense is done after 1 week, do it at your own peril. Look what happened last year, and you're still going to say that? Okay. I still think that the weapons haven't changed. They're still there. Quarterback is still good. I think the offensive line needs some tweaking, needs to figure things out. And once they do, it should be the same well-oiled machine offensively. I'm not that concerned about it. There is a concern if it's more than just, oh, I messed up. I should have gone right instead of what was going for the linebacker, and instead I should have paid more attention to the defensive tackle. You know, if it's more than that, then that could be a problem. But all indications at this point don't point to that.
Let's go to Jake on a sell. You're on 97 on a ticket. Hello, Jake.
Hey, guys. I have a champ and chump for you guys.
Let's hear it.
The champ is Tesla for that amazing catch. That's going to go down as a catch of the year for sure. And the chump would be the entire Tigers pitching staff minus Scooble. They were horrible this weekend. And in regards to the Lions, like, it's the first game, guys. Relax, man. Like, things are gonna settle down. Trust the process. We lost our OC. We lost our DC. We're a new team now. We're gonna get this together. I have no worries. It's week one. Would you rather this happen in week eight, week nine? I'd rather it happen in week one. That way we could figure it out and, you know, work on what we need to work on. Like you said, the offensive line.
Well, there's an NFC Championship team that played for the NFC Championship that played a game like this in like week eight, week nine, back in 2023. The Lions got absolutely smoked by the Baltimore Ravens. 33, that was week seven, actually. They lost 38-6. That team went on to play for the NFC Championship. And right. You know, that doesn't mean the formula is to get smoked at some point, but, you know, there's reason not to give up on the season already. That was concerning. Oh, no. There's no doubt that sucked, but.
That loss was horrible. I mean, but like I said, it's the first game. Trust the process. I have no worries. We're still going to win the division. I have no worries about that. It's just everyone's overreacting. Calm down. It's the first game.
Well, I had worries about them winning the division before the season started, and they certainly don't. I don't feel better about it now. Hey, by the way, today's football coverage is presented by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with, week two, coming up, Lions in Chicago. Starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. 248-539-9797. Phone calls, feedback. Champ Scoobal, Chump Brad Holmes for not adding to the D-line with a close second to Dan Campbell and his We're Good. Boy,
it gets ramped up.
Yeah.
There's a couple things that happened there. One, you had the Jamison Williams signing, and then if you're watching on the crawl on Red Zone, at least the immediate following that was Lions unable to get a deal done with Aiden Hutchinson before the season began. And then the other thing was that Za'Darius Smith signed a 1-year deal to play for the Philadelphia Eagles, and it's a $4.5 million deal with incentives could take it up to close to $9 million. So that's the other thing. And fans will look at the Eagles and say, that's the Super Bowl champs, defending Super Bowl champs, still adding. They're not saying they're good, despite the great defense that they have. They added Za'Darius Smith to it. And the Lions said, the other opposite of that, we're good. So, again, you go back to, why did the Lions say we're good? Why do the Lions not want Za'Darius Smith and the Eagles are good with it? Is it the money? I don't know if it's the money. It now screams to me they just did not want Za'Darius Smith on board. And I don't know the reason why, other than they've already gone through it and they don't think he's the fit.
I would say so. Albanian Martin is next here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Martin.
My boys, it's been a minute.
Yeah, so I just need to explain, because we haven't heard from you in a while, and we might have new listeners. Why are we calling him Albanian Martin? Because there's a Chaldean Martin that calls as well, and you guys sound very similar. So
they used to think the Lions would always lose.
Yes.
And I'd always say the Lions were going to win.
Yeah, it kind of was that way. Yeah,
and we expect you to call in last week with a prediction. We didn't get one.
I know, man. I swear, so busy at work, brother. And you still haven't came to see me, Gator. What's up with that?
I'm sorry, buddy.
It's easy, bro. Martin's cuts. Come see your boy.
Okay.
But you know why I called you? Big prediction, my boy. I was going to say 15-1, but after losing yesterday, man, that was terrible, bro.
You can say 15-2.
Yeah, for sure. I was going to say 16-1. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Now it's 15-2.
All right.
Listen to this, bro. My champ was Hutch for coming back after that injury, getting double teamed. And can't do nothing, man. Nobody else could do anything. You know what I mean? And he still tried, right?
Yeah.
And Chump, those ESPN, everybody besides Rex Ryan, man, they're on like this bandwagon of the Packers and Parsons like I've never seen in my life. When, hello, you guys have been the biggest scrubs for 2 years, 3 years. You guys couldn't win nothing. We won 8 straight divisional games. I get it. New offensive coordinator, boys, and defense. But, like, come on, man. We knew the offense had the line was going to have a problem. So was the D-line. You know what I mean? They didn't do nothing to adjust, guys. You know?
Well, I mean, it doesn't really matter what's happened in the past. What matters is what's going on now. And
100%.
So I see why they're impressed. As far as Parsons is concerned, I don't think Parsons had any impact on the outcome of the game. No. He's a useful piece, and I expect he's. But I also still will hold on to my prediction, no matter how bad it looks today, that they might rue the day that they did what they did.
Rue.
It's for sure the first game, but, Doug, it's a division game. Yeah. You know what I mean? And if this is going to be like this the next 3-4 weeks where Goff got no time to throw and that D-line can't gives the other opponent's quarterback all the time in the world to throw, we're in trouble, man.
There's no question. You know what I mean? If they play like this again, if this is who they are,
that's not a playoff
team. It's terrible. But I don't think they went from being a 15-2 team to this. I mean, I just don't think it makes a ton of sense. But people are worried, understandably so. It feels like Sunday can't come around fast enough. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. Last chance to get your champ and chump votes in. Do so now. FanDuel is getting you ready to kick off this season with an offer you won't want to miss out on. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right. Pick a bet $5, and if you win, you unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app however you want. I will make a strong recommendation that you don't try and use it for a parlay or a long shot. You're betting $5 to get $300 in bonus bets. So I highly recommend you just find a heavy favorite and bet them on the money line. Heaviest favorite last week was Denver on the money line. They didn't have to cover the spread. They just had to win the game, and they did. So right there is the formula to get it done and get you $300 in bonus bets. Find a heavy favorite. Visit FanDuel.com/Doug to download the FanDuel app today and get started. Must be 21 years of age or older and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. I'm not going to read that Champ and Chump nomination from a Packer fan. No, thank you. Give zero F's what you think. Oh. Rob writes in, Champ, Green Bay's GM for trading for Micah Parsons. Boss move that will win them the division. Chump, Brad Holmes, that L is on him. His light is dimming. Okay, I mean, you understand the finances of what came with signing him, right? And that the Lions, what is really interesting is they signed J-Mo, and there was the report that said that they were unable to come to terms with Hutch. So obviously they were hoping to be able to use some of their available cap space on the players that they are hoping to re-sign. And look, I mean, I guess you could basically trade Parsons for Hutch and get roll with them for a couple of years here, but there are other players that they're trying to sign too. And eventually we'll have to, and Branch and Laporta. You can't, it's not illogical to go out and draft good players who produce for you and then want to re-sign them. That's not illogical. You might have done it a different way, but that is not an illogical way to build a team and to try and win a Super Bowl. Draft well and re-sign your best players and populate your roster with other good, cheaper draft picks. But, you know, I mean, some people would do it differently for sure, and they express that quite loudly. Other things that happened this weekend. So it's probably about 6 years in a row I've been saying, boy, Aaron Rodgers is really going to lose some zip on his fastball. He threw four touchdowns yesterday.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah, I know. It sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Saw a lot of it. Watching on Red Zone, he looked good. I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
I was really pulling for the Jets. Thought the Jets had it, but you gave him an opportunity to win it, and he did. The Jets are trying to come back at the end. They just didn't have enough time. That's the other side of it. Justin Fields, he looked great.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately for them, they ran out of time, and Aaron Glenn, which I was rooting for, Breece Hall ran for over 100 yards. He looked good. But Aaron Rodgers, damn that guy.
Long season, but yeah, that's a hell of a start.
For him. Yeah, it is a hell of a start. He hit his guys in stride for the most part. There were a couple of clunkers he threw in there, but otherwise, he really did look good. And DK Metcalf with him, that's dangerous. All the speed that DK Metcalf has, that could be troublesome. But I don't know how good Pittsburgh is as a whole, as a team. But they certainly they went with the over-the-hill gang for sure. They've got a bunch of veteran players that they signed in the offseason.
Was the most surprising score of the weekend Colts 33, Dolphins 8?
That was up there, but we saw the Dolphins, and they did not look good.
No.
I think the most surprising is the Packers 27, Lions 13.
Yeah, maybe. Daniel Jones, quarterback rating, 87.6.
That's
his QBR. Sorry, his QBR. His
quarterback rating is probably well over 100.
Yeah, the guy who was going against QBR, 2.7. 248-539-9797.
Who is that? Who are they playing again?
Let me go look it up here. It was the Dolphins and their quarterback. Click on roster. Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, Zach Wilson got in the game. He went 5 of 8 for 32 yards.
Your guy.
Daniel Jones, by the way, his quarterback rating was 115.9 in that game.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad. I getting back and watching Red Zone, I was so happy. Just watching NFL football again, yeah. and games that matter.
And real it's just getting started, games. Right?
Yeah. And reminding myself there are players I'm curious about who's going to do what. And, hey, here's Travis Hunter out there playing both ways and making plays. He's all excited and exuberant to make it happen. You've got new quarterbacks. There's Cam Ward, and Cam Ward looks good. And watching the second year Bo Nix, he looks good. It's just the league's in good hands.
Let's see. Champ, the Lions receiver, made the phenomenal catch in the end zone.
It's Isaac Tesla.
Yep. Chump, Brad Holmes for not getting Micah Parsons to help out Aiden and help take us to the next level. Defense wins championships, from Chuck and Trent.
All right, Chuck, would you have given Micah Parsons that contract?
That's kind of what you needed to do.
And then you got to sign Hutch? You're gonna give both edge rushers $100 million?
And I disagree with defense wins championships. Defense used to win championships, but... Champ Isaac Tesla, Chump Brad Holmes for letting us in so many words. We as fans didn't know what we were for telling us in so many words that we as fans didn't know what we were talking about for two off seasons and on adding a pass rusher. It's from Terrell at work. I mean, I feel like some people are obsessed with the pass rush and not obsessed with all the winning that's taken place. Pass rush helps. Okay. It does help. Their pass rush was fine last year before Hutch got hurt. And they did bring back a player they didn't have last year for the season in Davenport, who isn't hurt yet. And Hutch is just getting back up to speed. I'm not.
But it's what we're told.
I didn't love it. Okay. Let's be clear. I didn't love what happened yesterday. But there's a lot of season to be played.
The problem I had with yesterday, it's not just that they didn't get home. It's they got no pressure. I don't know how many times that Jordan Love was actually pressured on 22 pass attempts. It didn't seem like many. Like there was one drive I remember that it looked like in the second half, Lions got some pressure, but they also dialed it up a little bit, bringing some other players in. Mm-hmm. But as far as that front four, they didn't get pressure on him. Hutchinson was like a complete non-factor, as was Davenport for that matter. And it was strange because we saw in practice, and it wasn't a practice against their own guys, it was practice against the Miami Dolphins, practice against the Houston Texans. And Hutchinson was a problem in practice. He was no problem in the game on Sunday. Now, hopefully it's just one game. It's a one-off. I don't know. But that was concerning to me.
Colton Pouncey of The Athletic had the numbers this morning that said the updated numbers were the Lions only had six pressures, second fewest in the entire league for week one.
It's terrible.
It's absolutely terrible.
It's terrible. Does he have how many the Packers had?
No, he does not. This was just the Lions one.
Well, how many times did Jared Goff
drop back to pass? Yeah, because it would be intriguing to talk to Jared and get his take after a day of looking at the film.
39 passes, I would say there was probably 25 pressures.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it felt like. Maybe felt I'm like selling a lot. It short.
Felt like a lot. And look, you know, they'll sit down, they'll look at the film. I'm intrigued at the tenor of what Jared's going to sound like. Because he's usually very honest and open with us about things that are problems that are fixable, problems that are real. See how he attacks that interview, because you know, we've gotten some good stuff out of him over the years. And Dan Campbell's been good too. Dan Campbell will be on the morning show tomorrow, so make sure you're listening to that. Champ Jake Bates, player of the game. Chump Sherrone Moore for not allowing Underwood to throw the dang ball. That's from Andrew and Livonia. My champ and chump, champ is Isaac Tesla. Chump Tony Romo for mentioning about 310 times that Micah Parsons is a Packer. We get it. He's on the Packers.
Yeah, they really play that card quite a bit. And I'd want to know where he was on the field, too, as a viewer.
Yep.
But, you know, I think they overstated the impact. Thought he was impactful in the 15 plays he was in the game, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think it was, you know, the second coming out there. He was as impactful as anybody else was on that team.
And look, he's not up to speed yet. This first game doesn't mean that you know, we have the book on what he's going to be there.
If he gets
healthier, I don't think he impacted the results because the results, it was so lopsided. I'm not sure that his presence was the reason why what happened.
Yeah. If he actually gets healthier as the season goes on, if this back thing is not a problem at all, mm-hmm. he is a problem. He's a massive problem.
All right, Mike and Rico are on deck, Scott. What do you suspect that they will have to talk?
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, you know, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.